Life support is nominal. The oxygen danger indicator level is yellow. Please remember that this is a non-smoking pirate ship.
Hey everybody! Merry Christmas and happy holidays! It is that time of year again when, well, for gamers, it mostly means that we get some time off to play the games we really love. So this is the Chin Lounge Holiday Show. I'm your host, John Breeden, and I'll be acting as, MC and Santa Claus this year. Joining me today is all the way from, with a cold and everything, joining me all the way from Seattle is Michael Blaker. Michael, welcome to
Thanks.
The show today.
Actually, it's Portland, but it's close enough.
Oh,
it's
sorry.
It's fine. It's fine. People get confused all the time.
I know my, this is sad. I know my major cities by the football teams are
yeah,
the closest.
Yeah, it's okay.
So in Seattle, they've got a pretty good team
yeah,
up there.
Yeah, no, if you think about it, you just remember like college football and, Marcus Mariota with the Heisman. So.
That's really cool. So, Michael, thanks for joining me today. You've had a cold since, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, pretty much since the last time, you heard me on this show, I got a cold. I don't sound like I'm talking to a pine cone anymore because I'm back home, but my nose is all plugged up and I've been coughing and, you know, coughing up phlegm and ugh. Yeah. So, it's been terrible.
Crazy stuff. So, well, you sound clear, but not healthy.
Yeah. we'll get there eventually. It might be another 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I hope not. God.
Yeah, man. That's crazy. So we're talking about, the year we've had in gaming, and it's our holiday show. So a little bit later, Shella will be joining us from England, where they do not say Merry Christmas and they do not say Happy Holidays. She's informed me that the proper greeting for a British person is Merry Yuletide.
Really? Interesting.
That's your little trivia fact for today. So, Michael, why don't we start with, since we're talking about what we're playing, what are you playing this holiday season?
I'm playing Destiny, of course. I've still been playing that. I did the Dark Review, the Dark Below review, and it's been a lot of fun. I enjoy it quite a bit. And I'm going to finally be able to get back into Assassin's Creed Unity, because they finally patched it. They finally fixed all the big frame rate bugs, which is, like, you know, the big sin for me is, like, that I saw frame rate issues in cutscenes.
I read your review, and it was really kind of – I was actually talking to some of the Ubisoft folks, they can't come out and say that, yeah, it was messed up.
Yeah.
But, you know, they kind of all know that there was obviously a problem with it. And in reading your review, it was like – it sounded like you really, really wanted to
I love Assassin's Creed games because I'm a big history – buff, nerd, whatever you want to call it, and I love the history, and I love seeing like old cities and stuff like that, and so Assassin's Creed is like the perfect game for me. And when I finish a Assassin's Creed game after I like 100% it or whatever, I'll actually just sit and read the entire database like in like 5 hours. And it's like the entire database entries, because they're always fun to read. They have like so much interesting facts, like you can read an entire textbook's worth of things in Assassin's Creed in a game. It's cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. I enjoy doing that. I like another company that does that is BioWare. All the BioWare games seem to have this rich history in them. And a lot of times that's a fictional history. But you know, whereas the Assassin's Creed games are, I guess you'd call them historical fiction, you know, because some of the stuff that you read about happened, and some of it happened in a different way, and you know, but it's all kind of based on that heavy historical.
Yeah, no, like Mass Effect, I remember reading the database for that after I completed the first and second ones, and
I don't mean to interrupt you. I was going to bring up Mass Effect, but I got, they spoiled me on the first Mass Effect because they read all the stuff too.
Yeah, I know. That was so nice. But I'm not surprised that they didn't continue with that, because it takes so long to record voice work. I mean, if you mess up a single sentence, you have to restart the sentence, and it's hard. I, I don't blame them at all.
At least, no, I know, and it was hours of voiceover work, but I mean, at least it was like an encyclopedia, so it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like Peter Dinklage going, oh my god, that mage came from the
No, or you've awoken the hive, or, you know, I don't have time to explain why I don't have time to explain, it's just, oh. I'm not saying that, I love Destiny, and going back to Destiny for a second, I love Destiny. I'm not saying that the story isn't, there is a story there, but they handled it very poorly. I'm not going to deny that at all. They could have done it much better, but it's still got a story.
That's cool. So this holiday, you got some time off and you're going to dive into the new Assassin's
yep.
Creed. And then also, you know, I know we're friends on the PlayStation mm-hmm. Network. I see that you're playing Destiny like every night.
Yeah.
So I assume that's a big thing. Now you've done all of the Dark Below.
Yes,
right?
I have completed. Well, okay. There's just one tiny part of the raid I haven't completed, and it's just a minor checkpoint. You don't even get, any rewards for doing this point, which is kind of, upsetting because it's one of the hardest parts of the raid, but you don't get anything for it except to go on to the next part and beat the last boss. But I have done all of it, and it's quite fun. The raid is amazing. It's also really hard. It's quite different from the Vault of Glass in that
really?
Vault of Glass is a bit more puzzly. Like, you have to figure out mechanics and all that. With the Crota's End, you have to pretty much just kill everything that's in your way, or you have to run past it. In a way, like the first part, you have to run through this dark part of like you have to run through this dark abyss. Like you can't see anything, and you're essentially running from endless waves of thrall. And it's like, oh my god! And if anyone dies, you're pretty much you have to keep running without them. And yeah, it's really hard. But it's a lot of fun.
Do you know which direction?
Yeah,
you're
there's a mechanic in that part where it. Every 1.5 seconds, there's a thing called Weight of Darkness that gets applied to you. It stacks up to 10, mm-hmm. 10 applications of it. And at 10 applications, you can't sprint anymore, which is really bad because you got, like, thralls running right behind you. And if you have even one of it, you can't do your movement ability, your vertical movement ability. So you can't double jump, you can't use your glide, can't use your Titan boost, which is bad because it's hard, but there's these lights that light the path, and so you go from light to light, and as when you're in the light, you have the thing get removed gradually. It's like every 1.5 seconds again, so you have to go through those. But if you stay at them too long, they explode and kill you. So yeah,
wow, that sounds like fun.
It is a lot of fun. if you don't have any coordination, like if you just do it with a group of random people, don't expect to get very far.
Right. Well, they don't let you go with random
people.
Well,
I mean,
like, you have to.
That's true. They don't do the matchmaking, which I understand why now. Like this raid, especially, you just can't do it. But there are online services where you can do it. It's actually how I met my clan. So.
Oh, cool. Well, that's cool. No, it sounds like fun. I went on the Vault of Glass raid with you, and that was interesting too.
It was a lot of fun.
There's a lot of puzzles, you know, and like, you know, like, especially like, I don't know how you guys figured out that Gorgon level where you're just like,
we, watched someone else do it. Cause there's a term from massive multiplayer online games like World of Warcraft called a heart or bleeding edge and, like, you know, right or cutting edge, and the cutting edge people like Prime Guard. People who do like the world first, they beat it like the first day or the first week,
right?
For like World of Warcraft, and so they do it like the first, and then they release like how they do it, and then everybody else figures it out from there.
that makes sense. So for me, I do hope to join you guys in Destiny at some point and play some. I have to get through. I've done a couple of the story missions. I haven't done
the
all
new
of
ones
them yet.
They're quite hard. I'm surprised at how hard they are. The first two I can do by myself on the harder difficulty, but the second one is just so hard. I can't actually do it by myself, and I'm surprised because like I'm a fairly decent player, and I still can't do it.
Right. I think I got through this. I think I've got through the second. I think I've gotten through the first two. I guess I'm on the third one now. So they're kind of short. At least
They're kind of short, which is nice. And you don't have Ghost talking, which I covered in the review. It's really nice.
yeah. Yeah, I get to the, like, the boss of, like, you know, and I'm like, okay, and I'm like, all right, what's next? And I'm like, oh, the 30-second timer is counting down. Okay, I guess I did it.
Yeah.
I'm still alive. I tell you what, as a Titan, no, that was really hard, actually. I think the second one, now that I think about it, I almost died, and the only thing that saved me is switching from the Hammer Fist Titan to the guy that puts the shield up. Cause, like, all I do is, and I don't use, I know you told me to use the, weapons of light, but I use the other shield power.
The blessing of light, which gives you extra shield. Yeah, no, that's useful too.
Gives you shield. Yeah, well, I use it a lot because what it allows me to do is step out of the shield, and then I'm still shielded.
Yeah, yeah. No,
basically.
Like.
And shoot, and then, cause you can't shoot out of the shield. But if you have that blessing of light, you can step out of the shield and still be shielded.
Yeah, take
basically.
A pot shot and then back in and.
And back in, I keep doing that. But I remember in that last level, they all came into my shield. They were all just, but I have a helmet that blinds anybody that comes.
It's a very useful helmet, actually. That helmet is incredibly useful in the new raid, because there's a bunch of melee enemies and they all come rushing in at you, and if they get blinded, they can't do anything. So, it's.
Right, yeah. So, like, the bosses are sitting around blinded, you know, and I'm doing my best to, like, you know, do something to them. I punch them and everything, and I do some damage to them, you know, here and there. And eventually I ended up surviving. Actually, my shield dropped. Some of them were still alive, but it was okay because I had my blessing of light, so the shield, I still
over
had the extended, I still had the extended shield, and I just had barely enough to finish. So I could imagine somebody without that shield. I mean, I would have been killed if I had the other layout.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
No, it's definitely, it's a lot harder.
And you can't take people with you on the
you
story
can
missions,
actually.
Right?
It's like any other story mission. You can jump in and get help, or you can have people jump into you and help you out, or you can go down together. You can't do it together. And thankfully, because like they have it in the rotation for the daily heroics now. And like today is one of them. One of the new missions is the daily heroic, which is going to be interesting.
Yeah, that'll be tough. So that's cool. Well, the reason I haven't been jumping in and playing with you guys in Destiny all that much was because my wife got me Dragon Age Inquisition.
Is that a good game? I've been hearing great things about it. I've never actually gotten into the Dragon Age franchise.
I love it, man. I've been playing it like all night, like for three nights.
Yeah, no,
in a
I've
row.
Been seeing
it's
you been... on playing Dragon Age. Like, I need to ask him, how is that game?
Oh, it's so cool. And talk about historical stuff. There's it's like you were saying with Assassin's Creed. The world that they've created has such a rich history, and they have all those other games that they can pull on. Now the other games don't matter, so you don't have to have ever played the other games. I think this takes place like it takes place after the second game, but you're a new character. Yeah, you're a new main character. It's years later, basically. But some of the characters from the second game appear. So there's like favorite characters that were playable characters before they show up and help you out and stuff. So if you'd played the other games, you'd be like, oh, I like that guy. He's really cool, you know, from before. You may end up liking him again, but you just won't know him. You know, which is okay because your main character's not supposed to know him. So, but you find books and stuff and letters, and there's just a huge database of stuff. Every time you go into a tavern, if a minstrel is playing a new song, you get a new card, and that's in the codex, and then you can actually read the entire song. You know, they have it transcribed what the song says, and then sometimes they have a historical description of like why the song was created and what they think this different things mean in the song and
that's
stuff.
Awesome.
So, yeah, you might really like it. And it's set up. It's different than the other Dragon Age games. The other Dragon Age games, you were basically going on a mission, kind of like almost like a traditional RPG, almost like a Witcher, where, you know, you travel, and as you travel, the story kind of follows you or whatever. On this one, you've got this overview. You're basically leading the Inquisition, which is a brand new organization trying to close these gates where these demons are coming through. But you have this war table, and it shows the whole world. And you basically, as you get points, power points, you can take on different missions, and that opens up new areas in the game that you can go explore. And then each one of those areas has its own like problems and things, like refugees that need food or something like that, and you can go on missions for them. And I swear, man, each one of those areas that you unlock is like a full game in and
really?
Of itself. Yeah, and then you've got the over game where you come back, you come back to your headquarters, and then every now and then, or anytime you want, really, and then you can take the points that you've earned in the sub areas, which again are like their own games in themselves, and you can use that to send your spies out to try to unlock new areas and things like that. And all the time, the Inquisition is growing in power and getting more influence over the world and stuff. So it's pretty amazing,
that sounds,
really.
That sounds thing. Cool as heck. I mean.
Yeah, I would highly recommend it. I found a copy, like it was going for like $60, and then Amazon had some weird little sale, and I ended up getting it for like $40.
Nice.
And like, yeah, the value score is like through the roof on that. I'm gonna be doing the review on it. I need to get a little farther into it because, you know, I barely scratched the surface.
Yeah,
so,
I've heard like things like you have to leave the hinterlands, and I have no clue what that means. But like I assume that's like one of the first sub areas you can get into.
The very first area that you can unlock, because the hinterlands, from that table I was telling you about, that war table where you gather all your advisors together and stuff. The hinterlands is the first area that you can unlock, and I believe you can do it without earning any power. I believe that's just like
such a tutorial
like
area.
Well, it's more like it's just kind of like there aren't really any major cities in the area, so you don't have to spend any influence to like send guys into the hinterlands.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it's the first place that you can get to, and that's where you build all your power up to go out. So, yes, and I've been playing in the hinterlands, and I can see, I think what they're saying is the main quest that you're following takes you back out of the hinterlands fairly early. But you've also got like 18 quests at that point inside the hinterlands.
Yeah.
So I followed most of the hinterlands quests for a long time, and then I was like, okay, I got to go back to the main area. But you can, once you've unlocked an area, you can go back as much as you want.
That makes
sense.
So
it's cool, but I'm having a heck of a lot of fun. Beautiful graphics.
Yeah.
Lot of collection quests. A lot of crafting. Like, you know, you collect these different metals, and then you can like build your own like mace or sword. And depending on what metals you use, it has different properties. So if you use iron, it might do bleeding damage. If you use dragon, I think it's called dragon rock or something, it does like fire damage.
Nice.
And stuff. And yeah, it's cool. I think you would really enjoy it, knowing what kind of player you
are.
Yeah,
no,
I
love RPGs of all sorts. So I wish I could buy it. I just don't have the money right now.
Well, it'll only go down.
It'll only go down, so. Yeah, and end up in value.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, let's see. Let's go ahead and take a moment and bring Shella in and talk to her about what she's doing this Christmas. She's joining us. This Yuletide. She's joining us from England, and we'll see what she has to say. And joining us all the way from England and full of holiday cheer is Shella. Shella, welcome to the lounge today.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Happy that you were able to join us before your holiday whirlwind tour or all your holiday festivities that you're doing. So we appreciate that. So how was your year in gaming in general?
How was my year in gaming? It was interesting, actually, because it was less of a AAA year for me this year. In fact, I think in January or something, my big prediction was that 2014 was going to be the big year of indie gaming. And for me, it actually was.
I got this. I mean, I read a lot of your stuff. The you were talking about all the different, and most of the stuff you wrote about were either indie games or smaller games that were done by big companies. Like you didn't write about like Ubisoft's Far Cry.
Yes.
You wrote about
Child,
you know, their
Light or
their World War One game.
Yeah.
Or so it was interesting. But still, though, what do you think? Was it a good year for you?
Yeah, I think it was. Because it was nice that there were a lot of different things on the gaming landscape this year. Whereas in previous years, I've just been bemoaning the fact that, you know, we were all sort of space marines with guns, and there wasn't much else to do. You know, I could actually, I'm not sure how many guns I actually shot this year in a game. So that has to be a move forward.
That's hilarious.
Don't think any of the ones I listed on my look back over the year, I actually shot anybody in them, which is great.
Wow, very cool. So a very non-violent 2014.
Yeah.
over the holidays, are you planning on doing any gaming, and what are you thinking about playing?
I'm thinking about I'll probably play the second part of Monument Valley. Because I absolutely loved that game. It's just a short little game as well. Beautiful, beautiful game. If you haven't played it, please play it. It's gorgeous.
What do you do in that game? Are you building something? It's called Monument Valley, so I assume you're building something.
No, you're not. It's like, Escher, the artist who creates the staircases that go nowhere kind of thing.
Right.
A trick of perspective. But they use that as an inspiration, and they build these they're like little Moorish palaces, and they'll have waterfalls going off and lily pads or whatever. They're just like little music boxes almost, and they kind of open up, and you can manipulate the buildings, and as you manipulate them, a staircase that looked like it was going one way, when you turn the building, it links to somewhere completely different, and you've got a little figure that as soon as you make that turn it the right way, they can walk across and get to the next level or whatever. It's just a little perspective puzzler, that's what I call it.
That sounds neat.
It's really relaxing, and it's utterly gorgeous to look at, and ingenious level design, because you can be scratching your head for a while, and then when you figure it out, it's like one of those magic eye posters that you used to get in the 80s. It's like, relax your eyes, and all of a sudden the boat pops out of the page.
Once you find the solution, you're like, I can't believe it wasn't there the whole time. Yeah. And you can't not see it. that sounds really fun. I'll have to give that a try.
Yeah. And it's only, a couple of bucks or something.
Oh, well, perfect. Well,
yeah.
Perfect. So the other holiday we have coming up other than, the big Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa holiday is of course the new year, which is coming up. And then, so that leads us to next year. So, maybe not on New Year's Eve, but somewhat shortly thereafter, are there any games that you're looking forward to in 2015? I know the answer to this one, but I have to ask anyway. Go ahead.
there's loads more games I want to play over Christmas as well, actually. I want to have a look at 80 Days, which is by Inkle Studios, and is basically been voted best game of the year all over the place, which is an interactive fiction based on Phileas Fogg, Around the World in 80 Days. So that's another one I want to look at Banner Saga as well. So that's my Christmas really busy. The year ahead, I'm not sure anything's coming out Q1 that I want, but oh my god, there's so many, because I think, isn't Rhyme next year? No Man's Sky.
See, that was the one I thought you were going to go for immediately.
I mean, what else? Oh, there's lots coming out next year. Next year's going to be a good year.
I think it's
only coming out on PS4. So I'm going to have to make the leap.
Oh, yeah. I've got my PS4 ready. Believe me, you didn't miss much on the PS4 in 2014. I got this next-gen console, and I'm like, it's cool, but, it's like stuff like Grand Theft Auto, which I already played on the 3, But so I'm looking forward to 2014. I think everybody who has a next gen console, whether it's a Wii U or a Xbox One or a PS4, are looking forward to. This year was kind of muddied because the old generation was still really active, and I was talking to Todd, and he was saying, next year, the old generation consoles might kind of get left behind. I think you'll start seeing more titles that are just new gen stuff. So.
Yeah, I think that's I think they've kind of bridged the gap quite well for people who haven't invested in a new one.
Oh yeah, I mean every game, every AAA title for the most part that's come out has been, you know, of it. Yeah, it's available for everything. So that was kind of nice. You know, it's good not to lock people out because, you know, their new consoles are expensive. So, you know, it's cool. And if you did play the games on like the older version, some of the stuff I reviewed this year, I actually reviewed on the PS3 instead of the PS4. And, you know, you still get a really good experience. It's not like, I don't think they've quite figured out exactly how to do the next gen perfectly yet anyway. So that's cool. So good. And I'm glad you're going to play Banner Saga. I played that and I really, really loved it. And I think you will too.
Yeah. I mean, that was written on the same, program as, 80 Days. That was written on Inkle. So I just want to have a look and see how it works.
It's a beautiful game. It's got a lot of dialogue choices. It's got combat, but it's, you know, it's tactical.
Yeah.
Based combat. And, so I think you'll enjoy it. And, only thing about that game is it's really depressing. I mean, it's kind of like, it starts out and says, it's a dying world, you know, and you're trying to survive in it. So, but you know, it's cool. It's not exactly a holiday cheer game, but I think it's one you'll really appreciate. and have fun with. So, and then No Man's Sky next year sometime, hopefully, man. Is that going to rock or what?
Oh my God, that's going to be amazing.
Are you going to come over and visit my planet?
Yes, definitely. I'm so excited for that one. And every time I see something new, I just get more excited because I think, oh, okay, there's more gameplay. Let's see if, you know, I'm going to come down a peg or two now if they show us more of the game. It's like, no, that still looks like the best thing ever.
it's going to be really cool exploring all that stuff. And it'd be interesting once we get, it looks like there's like some ship to ship combat and stuff in there. And,
there's something for everyone, but it looks like you can totally ignore that if you want and just go and study botany or something.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you could spend an awful lot of time just on your starting planet, you know?
So yeah.
It'll be cool. All right. Well,
I know what the first release of the year is for me. It's Life is Strange.
Life is Strange. And what is that?
Which is an episodic game by the people who did Remember Me.
Oh.
Kind of cyberpunk game with the black lead woman in it. But anyway, it looks gorgeous. It looks like an indie film. It should have Winona Ryder in it or something. And, and it's got like nice folky music and stuff. It's, a bit sort of, I think a girl and her best friend has gone missing or something. And so there's a bit of time travel in there. And yeah, it's very story narrative led and it looks beautiful. Interesting, and it's got two female leads, so it's cool.
And is it what platforms is it coming out for? Do you know?
It's coming out on everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Another everything title.
Yeah, yeah. Like cross generation, everything. So that's the end of January. So that's the first one of the year for me. I knew there was something. So yeah, that will kick off 2015 for me.
Awesome. Well, sounds like you've got your schedule all set. Your dance card is filled.
Oh, no, it is. It's so busy. That's the thing with all these little games; they can take up so much more time.
Oh man, they certainly can. I've been going through some of the Steam games and on the PC, and you know, it's like this little indie game, and you start playing, and then it's like, all right, I really like this game. I'm going to commit like 15, 16 hours to playing this game, you know, along with all the others. It adds up.
Meanwhile, 10 other games that you've got to play come out.
It's crazy. If only we could find full-time jobs just playing these things, we'd be all happy. All right. Well, Shella, thank you so much for joining us today, and happy holidays to you.
Yes, happy holidays to everyone. We don't say that, but yeah. Season greetings.
Yes. Well, however you celebrate, we hope that you have a great time and a merry Yuletide and all that stuff. All right. So thanks for joining us today. We'll let you get off to your holidays. Have fun. And, we'll talk to you, probably next year.
See you in 2015.
right, take care, Charlotte. Thanks for joining us all this year, and we'll see you next time. Okay, we're back in the United States with Michael. Michael, thanks for hanging out while we chatted with Charlotte.
No problem.
So sounds like she's been doing a lot of indie stuff.
Yeah, no, I've been reading her stuff and lots of indie games.
She's really into the indie. She said that this year would be the
this upcoming year?
Well, she said it for this year, and it sounds like she was mostly. It sounds like next year.
Yeah, no, I'm most excited. The most excited game I heard about at E3 this year was No Man's Sky, and I'm amazed that it's like a 6-person team making this thing.
Yeah,
and I mean, there's a lot of hype into it, but from what I see, the hype lives up to the expectation lives up to the hype.
Well, I mean, it's a procedurally generated world, so. They're not, you know, putting pearls at the bottom of every lake, but at the same time, they've made it so that you can do
right.
that stuff. So that, and I believe every single person starts with their own,
Start somewhere else in the universe, somewhere.
Yeah, I believe you start on your own individual planet that no one else has ever
been to
before. Yeah, and then, you know, when you discover, like, dinosaurs and stuff like that, you know, it gets mm-hmm. recorded and then put into some sort of a, you know, a universal database
right.
or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm super excited it's coming out for the PS4.
Yeah, the only thing I'm curious about is, they haven't mentioned it, but they've showed it, like, in a lot of the teasers, where you get in your ship and you're flying and you're, like, shooting lasers at other ships mm-hmm. and stuff, and it's like... But they haven't really explained what that is. Is that like player versus player?
From what I've seen, and I've seen a few teasers and like making of videos and like what's really going on, is that there are these computer enemies, like, you know, space fleets and whatever. And some of them are good and some of them are bad. Some of them want to kill you and some of them don't. And so I'm assuming the space battles that we see in the teasers are some of those people who want to kill you for some reason. And they've mentioned that once you get to the center, because like the big goal of the game for like half of it or something like that is to go to the center of the universe, to get like to the center of this place, this new universe. And afterwards, there's something there and it ties into why you have to fight or something like that. They've been really close-lipped about it. So I'm really curious.
Right,
and it piques my interest a lot. I love mysteries like that.
And I love, have you ever heard of the gamer chart where it's like, you know, some gamers are explorers and some gamers are killers and some gamers are, trophy winners and some gamers are, social gamers. There's four different types of gamers.
No, I haven't ever heard of this, but I.
Okay, well, it's like a Punnett square. There's different quizzes online. Some guy made it up a long time ago, but it's kind of become canon where you answer all these questions. There's basically four different types of gamers. There's gamers that like to win trophies, you know, and so forth. There's gamers that like to be social, you mm-hmm. know, basically go to World of Warcraft and hang out with their friends. There's gamers that like to explore and find Easter eggs. And then there's gamers that like to basically combat and kill other players. So there's basically the four main types. And I've taken the survey a bunch of times, and I come up almost all the time, like 80% explorer.
Yeah, no.
So I'm looking forward to that game. I love, like, games that, like, people, like, rogue games right now
are
really popular. And people don't really like them all that much, you know? I mean, I guess people do because they're popular, but people always complain about them. I like the rogue games.
It's a bit of, like, a masochistic thing. It's like, you know, they like the challenge of it, but they hate losing because nobody likes losing.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if the game is well balanced and you're like there are some games like the one that came out for the PlayStation a while back that where you were rescuing the little kids
Road Not Taken. Yeah, that one is
like
that,
I didn't like
me
that
neither. I didn't like that one either. Although you did give me a hint, I tried it out a bit later. It was a lot easier because you can actually just stop moving and think. And I didn't know that. Cause like, I was like, okay, I gotta run, get these kids, and I'm still like, I'm gonna die. It's like, oh crud, what am I doing? And no, you can stop and think, which is nice, but yeah, no.
Yeah, but that one I would say was on the hard, that was a little bit too hard. It was a good game, it's just too hard for me. I like, I'm playing another one called, Infinite Space, that I just got. I'm gonna be doing a review on it. And it's like, you have a spaceship and you're exploring the universe, sector by sector. And there are space battles and there are planet battles. It's a little indie game, but it's really well made. And it's a roguelike game in that if you die, your game's over. Mm. You know, if your captain dies, the game ends. Yeah. And there's no saving. Basically whenever it saves at different points, I guess, like when you go to a new sector or something like that. But I think it only does that in case you like lose your game
It crashes or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So, but if your captain dies,
you have to restart
the game. You have to restart from the beginning. But it's well balanced and it's scary because when you go to a new sector, you're like, okay, we gotta find the space station, you know, so that we can get more gas or whatever. You know, we gotta make sure we know where that is. And then, you know, and it's like, you play cautiously. Yeah. And I've been doing really well. I'm like on sector like 15 or something like that. And I'm doing really good. So that type of game I really like. So roguelike games are neat, but I think I like that because of the exploration angles. So.
Yeah.
So cool stuff. So yeah, definitely sounds like a fun holiday. Are you looking for anything, I guess as a sort of final question, are you looking for anything that's coming out in the new year?
Well, No Man's Sky sounds interesting. Okay. And I mentioned Witcher 3 last time for the Thanksgiving podcast.
Yep.
What else? I'm actually looking forward to Tales of Zestria, and it's the new Tales of series. I'm really sad that it's not coming to the PS4, but I've got a PS3 too, so I'll get it next summer. Sometime, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I believe that Neil Sayatovich has reviewed a lot of those Tales series. That's what's the developer?
Namco Bandai or Bandai Namco? They switched out. They switched the name around to match the Japanese one.
Right.
I forget which way it goes.
Yeah, it used to be one way, and now it's the other. But it's the same company. Has all the same people, as far as I know, that we talked to. We should – I should probably be able to get you a review.
Oh, really?
Copy of
cool.
That one too.
Awesome. Yeah, nice. Yeah. I'd love
to. Remind me as it gets
Will
closer,
do.
But we should be able to. Should be able to fairly easily, especially for a PS3 title. Yeah. So, all right. Well, cool. Well, Michael, you know, before you pass out from your cold, I'm gonna let you go, but thanks for joining
me
today.
Yeah, no problem. It's been lots of fun, and I'm always happy to join on the GN Lounge.
Yeah, and happy Merry Christmas, happy Yuletide to everybody. For all our listeners out there, we're on Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, I think. We're like everywhere, but you can always find us at GameIndustry.com, of course. And so everyone, I really sincerely hope that everybody has a great, great holiday, and you know, I hope you guys get some time off and play some games, because, you know, that's kind of For us gamers, that's really what's a cool thing to do in the season is, you know, to actually be able to sit back, not worry about work, you know, worry about the fact that the Darkspawn are taking over your Dragon Age world. All right. Well, have a happy Christmas, Merry Yuletide, and we'll see you all probably next year right here in GameIndustry.com's The Gin Lounge. Take care, everyone. Merry Christmas. We'll be right back.